not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they grow shall be in the light good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. If we have our text verse, it is verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God says. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Naturally, we're talking about missions all this week, and we look forward to God blessing in a great way this coming Sunday as you make a commitment to the Lord, first of all, what He would have you to do for a period of 1 year in regards to world evangelization, fulfillment of the Great Commission. We want to deal tonight with the subject of investing wisely. Investing wisely. Let's make our prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Already our hearts have been spoken to already tonight. We thank you for the music. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony. We pray for those, Lord, that the Heaths will have opportunity to minister to and have had opportunity to minister to in both the prison and in the public schools. But Lord, we pray now that you might meet with us in the moments that we have together around thy wonderful word. Lord, speak to our hearts once again this evening in regards to what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. We've already alluded to, and you all realize this, that every word of God, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And yet God used man, of course, to write the scriptures. In this case, we believe the preacher being Solomon. Solomon is coming to the end of his life. And now, experientially, he's learned a few things. One thing that he's learned about investing. He's learned about wise investing, and he's learned about not so wise investing. You know, isn't it true, especially without the Lord, and I'm just 51, and I suppose I might have a number more years to live, no one knows for sure, but that little quip, too soon old and too late smart, isn't that so true? And yet, Solomon says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we need not but just glance at it. The Bible tells us there to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. Our life is too short to not search the Scriptures and search the Savior and walk in the Spirit. And we don't have time to make all the mistakes, if you will, that there are out there to be made. In the earlier chapters of this book, we see that Solomon made his numerous mistakes, the so-called wisest man in the world. He made his mistakes even about the subject of investing. The Latin word is investere, of course, and it has the idea of to clothe or to surround. The lazy man, everyone invests, by the way. You're investing tonight. You've invested time tonight, very precious time, I might add, on a Friday night to come to the house of God. hear the preaching of the Word of God and to be inspired and learn and to be provoked to love and to good works in regards, in our case, to missions this evening. But even lazy men invest. They invest in sloth. Sometimes they invest in drunkenness, chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. You just can glance at it, and you see the idleness of the hands, and you see the tragedy of people that invest their life that way, Proverbs 23, 21 says. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Solomon, earlier on in this book, he invested in pleasure, the pleasure-seeking of this world, if you will. And he decided he'd eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow he dies. And he found out that vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And then he went the riches route, and he tried to be a riches seeker, if you will. And many men, many women invest their life, and we glanced at that on, I believe it was Wednesday night, of the people pursuing after the riches of this earth. And again, vanity of vanities. Everybody invested something. And investing is a universal practice. God was the lead investor. He's the one that teaches us investment. He invested in us. He gave his son, of course, for though he was rich, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so the Lord invested in us, if you will. And he gave his son. We invest each in each other. I'm investing in you tonight, and you're investing in me. You've inspired me tonight. Your pastor's inspired me. I can't wait to get back home on my home turf, if you will, where to my Jerusalem, where God's called me. And I have a work to do. My work's not done yet. And God's called me to reach our Jerusalem, if you will, with his local church that he's raised up. And I thank God for that. But we're investing one in another. The only question is, what are we investing in specifically? And we're considering again for the third time now this subject of missions. Let me just rapid fire in the next few minutes. I want to give you 10 truths to know about investment. 10 truths to know about investment. Number one, in verse number 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Truth number one in concerning investment is this, in all investment, there is temporary or sometimes permanent loss. I'm so thankful, and our church, many pastors, I don't know the situation here. I didn't ask Pastor Rich how the church structure is set up in regards to finances. Many churches opt out of Social Security for the pastor and so forth, and that's what we did many, many, many years ago and so forth. And so we invested in a 403B program. That's a 401K for most of you who realize what that is. It's our so-called retirement package. And several years ago, we finally got that thing going and had a little money laid aside. I can tell you how much money. It's neither here nor there. It's not a lot. But I remember just a couple, 3 years back when the stock market, and how can we forget that? And when it began to plunge. And I looked at my year-end statement, you know, and I was like, well, I got a little small little nest egg starting to grow here. And then that small little nest egg, and do I need to preach to the choir on this one? We all know what happened, don't we? And I got to thinking about it. I got to thinking, what if I had a lot? What if I would have had a whole bunch? Man, maybe I would have been one of those people who wanted to go next over to a bridge and, you know, jump off. You know, sometimes we invest, and sometimes there's not just temporary loss, sometimes there's permanent loss. But the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. In all investment, there's at least a temporary loss or a permanent loss. But we must invest. If we were to take the time to look at the parable of the talents, the Lord Jesus, remember, you all know the story well, don't you? One got five, one got two, and another got one. And the one that went got one, of course, he was the wicked and unprofitable servant, the scriptures say. He went and buried his investment. He didn't invest it. God was not pleased with that. Hey, let me ask you, by the way, what is Jesus getting in return for his investment in you? What's he getting? In all investment, there is temporary or permanent loss. Truth number 2, verse 1. Secondly, in investment, investment returns or results, gains or losses, come more often long after the investment. Notice what it says. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after what? Help me out. Many days. You know, most people do not have the patience necessary for long-term investment, do they? You know, you may want to, I don't know if anyone's taking notes tonight, but, you know, at least in your mind you can visualize a dot on a piece of paper. Just put a dot on a piece of paper. And then if your paper, you've got an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of paper, you got that dot, then you just write down a number underneath that dot of how long you think you're going to live. 70 years? Somebody said, I've already beat that one. 80 years? 90 years? Go ahead and put a number underneath that dot. And then below that dot, after you put your number below that dot, then write a line all the way to the end of your paper. Put an arrow at the end of that line. And we must understand that our life is but a vapor. Your life is that dot. But our eternity, Dr. Norton gave a great poem on eternity the other day. We have no concept how long eternity is. The Bible says that after many days, now, but I want you to consider this, that dot's going to be over with before you know it. We're here today and gone tomorrow. What is our life? It's but a vapor. I have fun with our kids in our church, and you know, I pretend like I'm the old man. I grew up in Ohio farm country. And I mentioned the other night, my grandmother had an outhouse until I was 15 years old. My neighbor farmed with horses. I pretend like I'm so old with some of these our young people. But it seemed like just the other day I was a teenager. We got some folks in this room older than I. You'd say the same thing. Just the other day. And, you know, we say, well, it's going to be so long. I don't know if I want to give to missions. I don't know, I don't know if we're going to see the, when am I going to see a return? Hey, we're not home yet, folks. We're not home yet, see? We're going to have a return someday. Many people want immediate satisfaction on their investment, if you will. They want it here and now. Never, you've heard the phrase, I think it was Bob Jones Sr., I think it was, that said, never sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Investment returns or results, gains or losses, come more often long after the investment. Thou shalt find it after many days. But notice quickly verse number 2 and the third truth. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Truth number 3 concerning investment. Investments should be given liberally. Say, well, how do you get that? Well, the Bible says give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Now, 7 in the Word of God in biblical numerology, we know 7 is the number of perfection. And the Bible says, you know, the Solomon says, give an investment, spread it out. Number 7 is perfection, but the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. Oh, after you've, you know, got all your investments out, if you will, start again. Start investing anew, more. Keep on keeping on, in other words. Investments should be given liberally. I said it right, you know, and I always step away from the pulpit. It's a little trademark that I have when I say something that I don't want to say behind the holy desk, if you will, the sacred desk. But you know those beer commercials, they do catch a lot of people, don't they? They say a lot of things, actually some truth in them, don't they? And I already alluded to it once. You only go around once in life. Right. So go for all the gusto you can get. Christian, we're only here once.
Right. Amen.
Work for the night is coming when no man can work.
Yes.
We only can give once, so give liberally. Give a portion to that seven and also to eight. Truth number four, verse 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now, by the way, isn't that profound? I like this one. Here, ponder that. I mean, this is the eternal word of God. Sometimes I think God has a sense of humor. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, that's one of the deepest truths you ever find in all of eternity, isn't it? Amen. But understand this, truth number four. Investment returns come in cycles. They come in cycles. I mean, the clouds fill up, and you know, when they finally get filled up, you know what eventually happens? It's going to come down, yeah. It goes up, and then it's coming down. It's going to rain. Sometimes we have a drought. Sometimes we have what we think are spiritual droughts. Churches go through droughts from time to time. I talked to your pastor a couple times about this, and I said, I don't know of any gospel preaching pastor. Pastor Luce would testify to this. I mean, if I had my way, we'd baptize somebody every single Sunday. It's always exciting to see somebody get baptized, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to see people get saved on a Sunday morning, or Sunday night for that matter, or on any other night of the week for that matter? It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we don't see the results. The clouds seem to be dry, or there seems to be no clouds, if you will. The trees, if you will, aren't falling. New trees aren't sprouting up, if you will. But investment returns come in cycles. So truth number five, let's hurry along. Not only that, verse 3, we've already read it. You cannot, in fact, no one can, keep what you have, so don't be afraid to give it away. The clouds can't keep the water. The tree can't stand forever. It's going to fall eventually. It's going to be used for wood or kindle or something. You can't keep what you have. We're just conduits. Jack Benny, the comedian of years gone by, now I'm dating myself again a little bit, but he said, if I can't take it with me, then I guess I just won't go. Well, he did go, didn't he? And he didn't take it with him. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. I find many people, and I've seen this happen over and over again. I give one illustration, and even before Pastor Luce and long before Pastor Zvotsky was here, but we had a certain widow lady that passed away in our church, and I'll even be generic with this, but the church was supposed to, frankly, get the proceeds. Her relatives swooped in. I didn't know she had relatives. We've been taking care of her in our church for the last 15 years. Never saw her so-called relatives. And they came in from out of nowhere. And a few days before she died, we never got anything, of course. And it's just amazing. It just all went, if you will. And it was certainly not used for the Lord's work. And it's so sad. Everything we have, one way or another, it's going to go. Someone else is going to take what we have. It's amazing. We have missionaries right now. In fact, I talked to him today. He's at our church. And hey, by the way, if you come on out here, let me just interject this. If you come on out on Sunday, I'll tell you, we're just loaded with American history all around our church. It's New England, after all. And great spiritual history and American history and so forth as well. So we went, I took the missionary to the FDR or Franklin Roosevelt mansion there in the Hudson, and right next to that is the one of the Vanderbilt mansions, and I took them there. Beautiful. They call it the cottage. It's quite a cottage. Let me let you in a little secret. And you know the Vanderbilts and the Jacob Astors, we mentioned this Wednesday night. They left it all behind. Many of those great, fabulous mansions, they didn't even hardly get to enjoy but a summer or two. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so we must understand that investment, you can't take anything with you. Number 6, verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Wow. In other words, if we look at the possible problems and issues that could come our way, we may never invest. In all investment, truth number 6, I guess it is, in all investment, there is risk. Hey, let's not kid ourselves. Now, I say this with a qualifier, but missions is risk. Yes, it is. I know our church, I'm sure your church, I don't even have to get any specifics. I know it's happened to you because it's happened to us. We've given money to missionaries, we've given money to mission works, and felt led of the Lord to do it. Somewhere along the line, someone's dropped the ball. I remember we gave, I'll be nebulous, but we gave thousands of dollars, ended up being tens of thousands of dollars to a certain ministry. And another missionary came in and took over this ministry that we had poured in tens of thousands of dollars into and just basically just destroyed everything almost overnight. We had a church up the road from us in Massachusetts. We call it Taxachusetts, by the way. But we had a church up the road from us in Massachusetts, and we, with my own hands, we have a church builder in our church and a number of our men and that went up and helped build the church, and we gave thousands of dollars to build the church, and some preacher came in there, a well-established church, and destroyed it in a matter of just a few short months. I got to tell you, it made me mad. Criminal. It's God's work. In all investment, there's some risk. Now, if you say, hey, there's risk involved in missions, and so therefore we better not get into it. Oh, my friend, you're wrong. The farmer, as I said, I grew up in farm country. We got farm country around here, don't we? Sure we do. What kind of farmer would you be if you said at the beginning of spring that I can't plant my 100 acres of corn because there might be a hurricane come in this year or there might be a tornado comes? What? No, you can't do that. You just got to trust.
Yes. Yes.
You just got to do what is right to do. Invest. Leave the results with God. Number 7, quickly, verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. I mean, we talk about the miracle of the second birth, and there's no miracle greater than the second birth, but how about the miracle of the first birth, the physical birth? I can't figure that out. We can't even live out, in water for, I can't hold my breath for 2 minutes, probably not even 1 minute now, I suppose. And yet that baby's birthed in a sack of water for 9 months. Miracle, miracles. If God can do that, notice what he says, even so thou knowest the works of God who maketh all. Investment truth number 8. The earlier you invest, the higher the probability of greater returns. And, pardon me, I read the wrong point here. You never know what will come because of your investments. You'll never know what will come because of your investments. The miraculous things that happen when we give to missions. We have no concept, no idea, no clue. Just on a purely secular, we could talk about in American history, we could talk about Seward's Folly or that silly Louisiana Purchase, or we could talk about when those silly Dutchmen bought New Netherlands or bought Manhattan for a few trinkets. And they, as they say, the rest is history. Oh, that little seed that we're planting today. Whew. If God can take a seed and allow it to plant, go in the ground, and he can make from that seed make a, don't you love, man, we're getting into corn season, sweet corn season. If he can do that with a ear of sweet corn, what can he do with the investment that we give towards world missions? Now, number 8, I got ahead of myself. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they shall both shall be alike good. Again, the earlier you invest, the higher the probability, the greater the returns. You've all probably heard of the rule of 72, and depending on your interest rate and depending on the number of years, and the higher the interest rate, the quicker you can, of course, double your money, of course. How important it is that we start early in our missions giving, if you will. Young people, you're here tonight as a teenager or maybe a young person, learn to give to missions now. Amen. Learn to put God first now. I don't suppose I'm talking, I have a feeling I'm talking all tithers tonight, but maybe there's one here that hasn't learned that principle yet. If you don't learn to, listen, if a young person doesn't learn how to tithe when he makes $50 a week, he'll never learn how to tithe when he's making $500 a week. You start with what God has given you. And learn, start early. Invest according to how much you wish to sow. Galatians chapter 6. Let me just read number 9 and 10 for you, because I got three principles I want to give you here tonight after these truths. Verse number 7, it says this, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Now, understand this, that investing, sometimes investing, there's temporary, we've already talked about temporary loss, sometimes permanent loss. In investing, sometimes it hurts a little bit, because there's, again, temporary departure. But here's the truth we find from this verse. In all investing, in all good investing, there is at least a time of sweetness or blessing. In other words, Jesus said it this way. The Apostle Paul said, rather, it is more blessed to give than receive. Some of you know already exactly what we're talking about here, don't we? It's a blessing to give. And there's joy now, not to mention what will be later. Number 10, verses 8 and 9. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that come is vanity. Our life is coming to an end. Don't forget that. But there will be a day when we will be glad or sad for what we invested in. I hope I don't hear those words. I hope, rather, that I don't have to sing those words, but I think I will. I'll say those words. I'll wish I had given him more. I think we'll say that. But here are just the moments that we have tonight. Let me give you three principles of investing tonight. Three principles of investing. Back to verse 1 for just a moment. We saw 10 truths about investing, but three principles of investing. Number 1, the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. It says, cast thy bread. Number 1, invest from what is yours. God is not asking for you to give something that you don't have. God is asking for you to give what you have, beginning with thyself. Turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We haven't been here hardly all week long, and we're planning on spending some time Sunday, of course, on these missions passages of Scripture, referring to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, of course. But I want you to notice for just a moment, quickly, if you would, please. I think we said at the outset of the message, and I understand, you know, I always say that the missions conference at our church, we have 2 revivals a year, we have a Bible conference almost every year, we have special services, we have vacation Bible school, we always have a missions conference, and I say that the missions conference is the most important conference of our entire church year. And yet, we're going to have Evangelist Bill Behrens in next week for a family conference, and I think, I hate to say this, But I think that the lowest attended conference we have every year, at least in our church, I don't know about your church, is our missions conference. And here's what I think. I'm 700 plus miles away from home, so I can get away with saying this. I think the reason why the missions conference is the least attended conference of the year, even though it's the most important conference of the year, is because no matter how hard I try to get people to understand that it's about this, they think it's about this. And yet, understand that investment, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We looked at that, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. These churches of Achaia, the churches of Macedonia, Thessalonica, look what it says. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and to us by the will of God. Invest from what is yours. You know, first of all, we give ourselves. Not many wise. Not many mighty. Not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I don't know, pardon me, it doesn't include you all, but if you're kind of like me, you know, I always say, hey, cheer up, we're prime candidates to be used of God. God's a gracious God. Amen. And he'll use the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, won't he? Amen. He'll use the little shepherd boy, as we've seen. He'll use that one that's just yielded to him. Principle number one, invest from what is yours. Cast thy bread upon the waters. God's not asking for something of you that you don't have, if you will. But then I want you to notice, and we don't need to necessarily turn back to chapter 11 and verse number 1, but it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Numerous scripture verses that teach us. We could go to the book of the Revelation especially. We could go to Isaiah 32 and verse 20. We could go to Isaiah 23. And verse number 3, here's Isaiah 32 and verse 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. What's that all about? We read about the great whore in Revelation chapter 17 that sitteth upon many waters. The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. And after many days, it will return hither. Principle number 2, cast your bread across the waters, throughout the nations, all around the world. I was telling, again, I was so impressed with Dr. Keller. I've been impressed with every one of our missionaries that we've had here tonight. But I just so impressed. I mean, an older gentleman, if you will, and he's going to the so-called mission field. Marvin and Jewel Wright, they're in Uganda. I was telling them, or telling a couple folks, I guess Brother Bill and Sister Judy, I guess that we were talking about the Wrights in Uganda. In their middle 50s, they surrendered to the mission field, and now for the last 12 or 14 years, they've been in Uganda leading people to the Lord, planting churches, dangerous where they're at. They had a missionary associate. Husband and wife, this will make the world news. We have to hear about Tiger Woods, is what we have to hear about. But a husband and wife, 3 or 4 years ago, house break in, put down evidently on their knees and shot execution style. Missionaries. This is where they're at. The Wrights, I think of the Volantes, we mentioned them the other night, Laurel Volante that died, but now thousands of Ghanans have come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We sent out from our church, I don't know your missionaries, I know our missionaries that we've had a part to give to their ministry. I think of Lee Johnson in Peru and hundreds and now probably thousands, and the Campbells in the Philippines and the Kennerdines in Cambodia. And John and Barb Kennerdine, Barb's been in heaven, and she was on a motorcycle a few years ago, her and her husband, and driving to the airport to come back to America, and got hit by a car, and Barb went to heaven. And yet, there's hundreds and hundreds, of probably thousands of Cambodians in heaven tonight. Cast your bread upon the waters. Robert Moffat, of course, was the missionary that inspired David Livingstone to go to Africa. And he said, I have seen sometimes, in the morning sun, the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. There are still places that have never heard the word of God. Did that excite you to think that there's a missionary going to Mongolia? Did that excite you to understand that we have an opportunity, or there's an opportunity to go into the Cubas of the world with the gospel? And this is a local church matter, and I'm not meddling in your personal business. I'm a pastor myself, don't forget. And I understand the autonomy and self-government of every local church. And I understand that God leads us all a little differently to take on different missionaries and how we do things. I get all that. But let me just throw out a challenge. Thank God for your missionaries that you have. I believe 19 of them. You let the Holy Spirit of God work in your heart. Maybe you need to have more. Maybe there's some more waters that you need to cast your bread upon. The Lord knows how important that is. Principle number 3 tonight. Invest from what is yours. Invest it across the waters. Principle, last principle tonight. Invest knowing that God will reward the wise and godly investment. Oh, so much I could say. We could end with, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Look at the last verse, and let me give you the last quick illustration. Galatians chapter 6. Of course, we know verses 6 and 7 so well. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We could read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, you'll pardon me, and I do look forward to Sunday school hour. God put me in a place in America. When I moved to Torrington, Connecticut, I knew there was a lot of history. I didn't realize that I could literally step out my front door of my house and actually walk to some of the greatest places in America, if you will, or at least the birthplace of American Christian missions. I could walk to I could drive just a few miles from our place and see where Christians from 200 years ago, 180 years ago, 300 years ago, that they got a great heart for God. Come on out, I'll show you. We can take you to a place where Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I'll take you to the rock where George Whitfield preached, You Must Be Born Again. I'll take you and stand you in the pulpit where Charles Finney preached. I can take you a number of different places regards to that, but I think in little old Goshen, Connecticut, just my wife works a job in Goshen, just a few miles away from our house. And I think of those missionaries. I can't wait to give you the full-blown story. But in 1820, they'd get on the USS Thaddeus from Boston. They'd go on a five-month trip. They'll land in those Sandwich Islands. God in his providence allowed, some of you have probably been to Hawaii, he allowed Kamehameha to die in 1819, the king. They pulled in, those missionaries pulled in, and the kahuna looked down in the valley, right there, the same valley where, same harbor where Captain Cook was killed. And he said, that's them. They're the ones with the book. What they say, you listen to them. That unsaved heathen man. But how those islands were gloriously converted to Christ, all of them. Hundreds, 1,100 schools planted in 5 years' time. Hundreds of churches, entire villages, everyone came to know Christ as Savior, and then the missionaries went from there. And if you ever get to go to Honolulu, don't go to all the other tourists. Make sure you go to the first church and go to the cemetery and see where the missionaries that went out to all the South Seas, to the Marquis Islands and the Gilbert Islands and the Samoas, and the gospel went forth because one little person, we talked about last night, they invested. and said, let us go. And a ship with just a handful of missionaries left. And as they say, the rest is history and it's still going on. Oh, we don't know. We don't know now, but one day we will know that it was worth it to serve Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word tonight.